Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadikarup, guten tag, jao, wee, viva, ketbang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the... Where am I? From the... Here I am again. I forget the opening of the show. I've only been doing it for 15 years now, right? So, okay. Take two. What? It's a live show? Okay. Well, then, here we go. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, kilitary industrial corporation. Yes, it all comes back to me now. In the cheese-covered, bankster bankrupt, corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And it's that time of year, you know, when we reflect on the past and look forward with hope to the future in a new year and a new beginning. And then when we reflect on a previous year, it's hard to ignore how much suffering and misery there are in the world. And that's why going vegan is such an important New Year's resolution. You don't have to wait till New Year's Eve. Today's a perfect time, though, too. You know, never a better time than the present, but what better New Year's resolution could there be? It's an action that says, I don't want to bring more suffering into the world. There's enough misery without me adding to it, right? It's the most important individual action that you can take, and the most important collective action. You know, we all go vegan, we save the world. We save the world from climate change. We save maybe 5 million species by going vegan. What a wonderful individual action and collective action. Huh? Our most important individual and collective action is to go vegan. So let us reflect on that in this time of reflection. Many of us also reflect on loss this time of year as, you know, a sad time if you've lost someone. If you lost a loved one this year, someone of any species, and you want to say a few words in remembrance on this program, this our year-end show, we will open the phone lines for you to do that, and you can call 855-660-4261. That's the call-in number at the studios of the Genesis Communications Network, which syndicates our program, which is live 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays, Pacific time. Again, that number this hour, 855-660-4261. Also coming up this hour, our guest will be the iconic San Francisco vegan hero, Dixie May, who lost her husband of 56 years in 2015. Stan May died at age 90. And Dixie has made a generous, much appreciated donation to Go Vegan Radio in his name, supporting our 15-year radio program, our 15-year broadcast, and our efforts organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming in July to the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. And this is also the time of year for our annual World's Most Important Award Awards. Awards awarded by Go Vegan Radio. And if you are a regular listener of this program, which I say it's been broadcasting for 15 years now, and we will continue to broadcast until we get it right, by the way. So anyway, if you're a regular listener of this program, well, you know that we've been awarding the world's most important awards, or the WMIA, the WMIA, for about 30 seconds now. These awards are not awarded lightly, and careful consideration has been given to them for at least 15 minutes prior to airtime. So, you know. And we do have a number of categories, so I guess we should get started here, huh? Okay. All right, so the envelope, please. Yeah, all right, okay. The 2015 Most Important Award for Most Important Media Coverage of Climate Change and the Environment is awarded by Go Vegan Radio to... Oh, look at this. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How do you like that? Woo! All right. Wow, holy cow. Well... All right. Thanks, Go Vegan Radio. I really couldn't have done this without me. I really appreciate that. Okay, so the next award, Go Vegan Radio Awards, the world's most important award for most important media coverage of water and drought to... Hello, please. Ah, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Go Vegan Radio. Wow. Well, I would like to suggest people listen to the shows featuring Todd Schumann this past year. I believe there were three programs concerning everything from depleted aquifers and the actual physical collapse of California's Central Valley as a result. And, you know, all of this along with the unimaginable waste and depletion of resources in California because of animal agriculture. Really incredible. We will be having, and in fact, Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Thanks, Go Vegan Radio, for this award and for scheduling a water and drought crisis forum at the upcoming World Vegan Summit and Expo in Berkeley in July. So, okay, let's see here. Any other awards, Go Vegan Radio? Sure, Bob, plenty. Go Vegan Radio Awards, the world's most important award for media coverage for issues of world hunger and feeding the hungry to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Unbelievable. What a show. What a show, huh? Okay, thank you, Go Vegan Radio, again. You know, we'd like to, we do like to get at the root causes here, you know, to feed the most people with limited resources. Of course, we must go vegan, we've had people on about feeding the hungry here. Dr. Baruch Ben Yehuda on the show with his vegan food truck in the food deserts in the Washington, D.C. area, and the vegan restaurants he's opened. We've had Keith McHenry on the program with Food Not Bombs, anyway, Go Vegan Radio, this is getting a little embarrassing, like winning all of these awards, you know, so maybe you can move through the list more quickly or something. Okay, Bob. Go Vegan Radio Awards, the world's most important award for animal rights media activism to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Go Vegan Radio Awards, the world's most important award for family health to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. For family health, we get that award. Okay, Go Vegan Radio. Thank you. Go Vegan Radio, surely there must be an award awarded to someone else. I mean, this is really embarrassing, like, you know, right? So, I mean, you know, so it doesn't seem like this whole thing is like totally fixed. Huh? So, what do you think, Go Vegan Radio? Okay, Go Vegan Radio Awards, the world's most important award for weekly radio commentary on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden to Professor Gary Francione. Oh! Well, how do you... Okay. There. Okay. All right. I'll have to congratulate Professor Francione next hour when he's here with his commentary. And the Go Vegan Radio, the world's most important award for peace and social justice activism. You guessed it. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Okay. We're sweeping. Hard to believe, right? Not really that hard to believe. Okay, and finally, Go Vegan Radio would like to award the award for most important program in all media of all time to... Oh, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden is first runner-up, what, to the Howard Stern Show? How can that be? We're first runner-up to Howard Stern. What's that? Oh, Howard declined. And, of course, it's the role of the first runner-up to step up in that case. So, okay, we won it after all. Okay, Go Vegan Radio. Okay, most important show of all time. More important than, you know, Walter Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow and Brian Williams. Yeah, what an honor. Okay, well, you know, I mean, none of them actually did anything to try to save billions of lives and millions of species, as would seem to be our job here. Okay, so anyway, there you have our annual Go Vegan Radio Most Important Awards, the WAMIA Awards, handed out today. Tune in next year to see if Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden sweeps again. And if you think these WAMIA Awards are, you know, some ploy, some trick to try to get you to make a year-end donation to Go Vegan Radio, well, that would only be the case if you actually make a donation. So we would greatly appreciate that if you make a donation, and then, you know, if you have that accusation to make, you know, then it might be founded, well-founded. And the donate button can be well-founded also if you go to goveganradio.com. Where you find it, well, that donate button there. And we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Welcome back to the award-winning Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are also two extraneous Bob Linden pages on Facebook to keep me doing things in triplicate to make sure I am, you know, really never effective. No, you know, And friends keep saying, no, you have to ask for money. You're a 501c3 nonprofit. Look, everybody does it. I hate asking for money. It was very kind of Dixie May to make a sizable donation. We'll talk to Dixie in a few minutes. But, I mean, it's that time of year. Everybody asks for money. And they say, no, you're the vegan cause. You're vegan education, vegan activism. You're organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo. There's a two-hour show every week. Ask for money. Look at HSUS with its pig farmer vice president whose farm is shut down for inhumane violations. They're asking for money all the time. You know, I turn on, you know, I look at Democracy Now! Every day. Turn on my terror vision set, like the computer screen. And, you know, up, you know, Democracy Now! Up pops a donate screen. The first thing you see, like before you can even listen to the show. It's, you know, so I hope that you'll donate to Go Vegan Radio so we can afford a donate screen. And I guess I probably watch all of these shows really to feel better about my life when, you know, you look at the plight of people around the world. And, you know, over the holiday here, for some reason, I just, you know, went to YouTube and documentaries. And for some reason, it led me to, I don't know, I'm years behind all the time, but it was ex-Scientology people speaking out. I thought that was fascinating. I was watching all these documentaries and... But what I respect about Scientology, what I've come to respect about, you know, watching these documentaries and all the people speaking out about it, is, wow, does it know how to squeeze money from people? Like, anybody who's an ex-Scientology person who would like to, you know, do development and fundraising for Go Vegan Radio, please get in touch with me. I mean, these people, they'll call your Nana, borrow money from Nana. She has money in the mattress, we're sure, you know. Or so, you know, it's like, unbelievable, you know, and from rich people, actors, you know, they're getting $500,000, $1 million at a time, you know, and they're you know, will you be inheriting any money, you know? So I'd appreciate it if you would, you know, just send me your dad's bank card and the PIN number, okay? I think that's how Scientologists do it, right? That's so anyway, just I don't know. They do it. HSUS does it too. You know, just a few weeks ago, they said, 80 dogs emergency in Ohio, send us donations. The Humane Society of the United States gets like $120 million a year, $130 million a year, has $200 million in the bank, and they say they rescue 80 dogs, which would be shocking if they actually did. And it's asked for money, even in that case, you know. So, so in a sense, you know, I'm really here to try to deprogram you and you know, make sure that you're not giving money to some weird cult, you know, that does a lot of harm in the world. So I don't really understand why in the world anybody would donate to the Humane Society of the United States. It's a cult of animal killing, you know. But they make themselves out to be animal protectors. It's the cult of animal killing, animal protectors. Such a hypnotic grip it has, you know, has a grip on the organizer of the. So-called animal rights conference, you know, the Farm USA, I don't know, organization that's really, I don't know, a robot of HSUS. It makes HSUS a main speaker at its annual conference. And in our year in review, our 2015 year in review, Farm gives the award and inducts into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame an egg salesman who works for the Humane Society of the United States, who puts in, you know, his time is working to make big deals for universities and corporations so that they'll use cage-free eggs. And that's another celebration of the animal rights movement, 2015. Well, actually, I guess it would have to be 2025 when McDonald's has cage-free eggs, which was nothing to celebrate. The year in review. We'll maybe do some of the year in review next hour. Dixie May coming up next on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter, at GoVeganRadio. Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Bob Linden page, and then another Bob Linden page, and then we would like you to register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming to Berkeley July 29th, 30th, and 31st, and you can register at worldvegansummit.com. This being the end of the year, people are reflecting upon what's happened during the course of the year, and many of us have lost a loved one, and if you yourself have lost a loved one this year, a loved one of any species, and you would like to say a few words in remembrance, the phone number here is 855-660-4261. 855-660-4261. My next guest is a hero of mine, a hero of many people, an iconic San Francisco vegan hero who has been the president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society for many years now, vice president, and enjoying life a bit more. But this year she suffered the terrible loss of her husband of 56 years. And so our condolences to you, Dixie. Dixie May, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing all right, except this was my first Christmas without Stan, so it's been a little sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well, I mean, you, it's amazing. People, I think it's amazing for anyone to be together for 56 years, is it? 56 years
yeah.
You were together?
Mm-hmm.
So, you were together, you started out being together when I was riding a tricycle in the schoolyard in the Bronx.
Oh, dear.
So, well, not ancient, but, you know, but just to count our blessings and say, wow, to be together for 56 years. I mean,
yeah.
I who has a relationship that lasts for, you know, 56 weeks or 56 hours even these days, right?
So, he was 90 when he passed. I'm younger. I'm only, 82 now.
You're only 82, and I have to say to folks that, you know, we meet for dinner once in a while in San Francisco. We have a new hangout that we like a lot, Shizen Japanese Restaurant. It's a really nice place on 14th, just off Valencia there. So, but Dixie at 82. I mean, she's dancing. She's like the picture of perfect health. She is dancing. I mean, she's as happy as can be given the situation. But, you know, I mean, and you know, you take no prescription drugs. You're just the, you know, the model. You know, the perfect model of models here for.
Well, you know, they always say when two people love each other so much and one passes, the other one passes within maybe the year or so, but I'm so darn healthy. I'm going to last a lot longer.
You're going to last a lot. Yeah, you definitely will. Well, you were vegan you are vegan now for 37 years. So
yeah,
and Stan,
a vegetarian prior to that, at least 20 years.
Right, and Stan was vegan for 25 years, we all, I did that too. I mean, you know, I was what I considered vegetarian for a number of years before being vegan, and then, you know, I think nowadays we realize that, you know, we did it for animals, so had we known then what we know now, I think we would have gone directly to vegan, knowing about what happens to, you know.
Absolutely. As it was, I thought I was told that I would die if I didn't eat meat, or at least I wouldn't live as long as the rest of the population, or at the very least, I would be unhealthy. All things mm-hmm. are wrong.
Right. Well, when I decided to be whatever it was also, which, I mean, I called vegetarian. I don't know. I mean, it was...
we didn't know about vegan name.
we didn't know about it, and we didn't, you know, I mean, I looked down at a frying pan and saw the body of a chicken, and I said, I don't think I can eat animals anymore. It was just occurring to me that somebody died for my eating pleasure. Somebody yeah. died just for me to eat. And I was engaged to a butcher's daughter at the time, and my future ex-mother-in-law was yelling at me saying, "You're going to die if you eat like that. Are you crazy?" So, I mean, that was the thinking. Even then, and we called ourselves vegetarian, even though maybe cloaca mammarian or something would be, more appropriate for, like, where we were drinking the mammary secretions and the cloaca secretions of chickens. But I think, we had good intentions, but mm-hmm. our actions, today, these days, with what we know now, our actions can match our intentions immediately, much more quickly. Plus, we have, it's a different world.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting that with my husband, I was dating him, and I was eating meat because when I'd go out with men, especially at that era in the 50s, if I told them I didn't want to eat meat, I would get a big lecture or they'd laugh at me or something. So I was a closet vegetarian. And when he knew finally that he was fixing dinner for me, and I told him I really didn't like eating meat, he said, "Well, why didn't you tell me? If that's what you want to be one." So he gave me the strength of my own convictions.
And he helped you a lot through your many decades of really vegan activism at the San Francisco Vegetarian Society.
It was interesting because we went to a place in just over the border of La Puerta in Mexico. And it was all vegetarian at that time. That was incredibly, advanced as far as I was aware. I never knew any other place you could go and just eat. And so he ate the food, and he said, "Well, if you could fix food like this, I could be a vegetarian." Bingo.
Right.
All the recipes. And then on, I, started feeding him, and he became vegetarian, and then eventually vegan, too.
And vegan food is just so spectacular. I mean, like I said, we've been meeting occasionally for dinner at Shizen, which is just the fantastic, right there in the Mission in San Francisco, just in walking distance, there are many wonderful vegan restaurants. The Bay Area is really blessed, and we seem to be going back to Shizen quite a bit, though. The food is really, really spectacular there.
Well, it's also nice that we have a vegetarian society that I became president, and as I said, he was very supportive and served on the board at one time and actually became a commissioner in San Francisco for animal control and welfare, representing the welfare part of the animal movement. And he was the man behind the woman, as the president, but he was supportive all the way.
And you, with the many years of organizing the World Veg Festival in Golden Gate Park, which I have emceed, and then a few years ago when we had the World Vegetarian Congress as part of that, and we had a dinner in your honor that I organized at that time, which you
I remember
greatly deserved.
Thank you.
So for all that you've done. And so we were at dinner, and we were talking about the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and to my surprise, I didn't know why you were fiddling around with your purse, and then out came the checkbook, and you were kind enough to write a generous check in memory of Stan May, supporting this radio program, which in January marks its 15th anniversary. And we are organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo in Berkeley next July 29th, 30th, and 31st. And, it's really been your vision, your dream, and Stan's dream that there be a vegan world as quickly as possible. So that's
absolutely
that's what we're working to do. So it was really kind of you to make a generous donation in his
maybe
memory.
Maybe other people will too. We're getting towards the end of the year. Maybe they would like to make that kind of a donation to you, because that's the only way we can make a better world.
Mm-hmm.
Not the only way, but it's a way of really putting our money where our mouth is.
Right. And, we are dedicated to we are dedicated, you know, on behalf of the animals, really, to we're trying to create a vegan world as quickly as possible. And like, that's nice of you to suggest to people that they might want to make a donation too, in the name of a loved one, you know, from someone, a loved one of any species. If anyone would like to call in to remember a loved one of any species, the number is 855-660-4261 here at the Genesis Communications Network.
You know, I was just visiting some relatives, and they have such wonderful dogs, and I was thinking people who have animals that they have loved and have passed, they can do it in their memories too.
Right, right. Well, definitely. And, you know, Facebook can be a heartbreaking experience. So you see, you know, a lot of people have that loss. And I don't know, we have a special place in our hearts for dogs. It's like, oh, please, no. That's so sad, you know, because I don't even want to think about it. I have my beautiful Daisy right here with me, yeah. The love of my life, and she'll be at the World Vegan Summit
next week.
She comes with us to dinner, and she really likes she likes all the vegan food I eat, but she seems to like the bean curd. She likes that one a lot, and she does like some of the sushi rolls also. So, but the bean curd in particular is a favorite of Daisy's there at that restaurant. So what have you been up to lately? Now you're not as busy with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. What
well,
are you doing?
I'm still vice president, but I'm not as hands on. But you know, it was over 50 years.
Years with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society.
Yeah.
We have to take a break. Dixie, hang on. We'll have a few more minutes left with Dixie May on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this program, now broadcasting for 15 years, and our organization of the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can click donate at goveganradio.com. And we're talking to Dixie May, whom we are thanking for making a generous year-end donation in the name of her husband, Stan May, who died this past year at the age of 90. So, and Dixie is 82 and as healthy as can be, and dancing and singing, and being vegan has been very good to both of you, actually.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you were with the San Francisco, and are with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. I mean, it's almost around 50 years, but what first prompted you to stop eating animals or stop eating meat, you know, regardless of what we consider vegetarian or not vegetarian or whatever. What started things?
Well, my father took me fishing. The whole family would go fishing. We lived in Utah. We'd go up to a canyon, actually, called Lamb's Canyon. And the whole family is making a picnic, and my father was fishing, and he baited a hook with a worm, which I thought was awful, and then gave me the fishing pole and had me put the line in the crick, and lo and behold, there was whittling, and he helped me pull it out, and it was a fish. And everybody cheered, and they put the fish on the basket, and it kept flopping around. And today, people should, you know, knock it out if they're going to, you know, do that kind of fishing, but I wish they wouldn't fish at all. But anyway, it was kept moving around and wanting to breathe, and I wanted to put it back in the water, but, you know, we took it home, and my father slid it open, and in the coal bucket in those days, emptied all the insides, and then put it in a frying pan, and put it on a table, and everybody was supposed to eat, and I just didn't want to eat it. And whenever I made the association between an animal and what we were eating, I didn't want to eat it. But I was told if I didn't, I would die. So I didn't want to exactly die right away. I was only around 10. Mm. But So
you were around 10 when that occurred to you, when you were out fishing?
Pardon?
So you were around 10 years old when you were out fishing and had that experience?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem right to me at that age to do that. And I would go to Sunday school, and I talked to my Sunday school teacher, and I said, I don't understand this. And he said, well, God put these animals on the earth for us to eat. And I said, well, I don't like God. So I had a problem with my religion. I had a problem with God. So fortunately, I, years and years later, wish it had been sooner, I decided to make the decision just to stop eating it, and if I died, I died. But I didn't die. Here I am.
Right. Well, that was a decision we made. Like I said, I thought it would be detrimental to my health, too. That's what everybody was saying. And I thought, well, what can I do? I can't participate in that violence and, you know, torturing someone or, you know, not for me.
Like
sorry.
A fellow being.
Fellow being, right. Fellow being, and, you know, and people rationalize and make up all sorts of excuses, including, you know, that God put the animals here for us to eat, even though the Pope's encyclical from a few months ago seems to differ from that opinion and says, well, they're on their journey here with us, you know, as they're our companions as we go along. So, okay, so... Hold that thought. We need to take one more break, and then we'll have a couple more minutes together. We'll continue talking with Dixie May on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Remember that thought, Dixie? Second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, inexplicably broadcasting now in January, it will be 15 years. So, Dixie and I were children when the show started. We're talking to...
Thank you.
Yes. Well, you're still a child, Dixie. Now, you're not acting your age. You're 82, and very healthy and happy, except for the loss of your husband. You know, 56 years together. Stan May died this past year at age 90, and Dixie has made a generous donation to Go Vegan Radio in his name and invites others to make donations in the names of their loved ones also. And I think I interrupted you, or our break interrupted you. Do you remember?
I was just going to say that he was the man behind the woman, because people know me as in the animal movement as president of the Vegetarian Society, and also involved with Pets and Pals. Now, he was chairman of Pets and Pals. That's an animal welfare organization that was quite active for a number of years. And he was also on the Animal Control and Welfare Commission. He helped organize that for the city of San Francisco and became one of its first commissioners. So so he was very involved. And it was interesting how he became a vegetarian, because when I met him, he was not. And he was fixing dinner for me, and I was kind of squeamish about it, and I finally confessed that I didn't really like eating animals. And he said, "Why don't you tell me?" And as I said, he gave me the strength of my convictions, because I was kind of embarrassed about it at that era over 50 years ago. And
right, we were closet meat eaters. So so how did you go vegan then? I mean, you know, you said you spent many years, you know, vegetarian. Well, we call it vegetarian now. I think it should have another name, because I mean, if you're consuming animal
vegetarian.
Oh, that's true. It was called lacto-ovo, so there were little asterisks as to bad behavior, right? So, look, I'm really good except for eggs and milk, so there's the asterisk. And the asterisk disappeared, and we interpret it the wrong way now to say, like, okay, I'll have a cheese omelet and a glass of milk, and I'm a vegetarian, you know? So,
well, originally, the vegetarian did mean what we call vegan. And then, because some people didn't want to go all the way, and then they started adding that lacto-ovo part to it, which was still quite a step in that era. I'm talking about 56, you know, 1956. So,
right. But back then, it seems, you know, it seems radical. Well, it was. I mean, I was the first. You know, I called myself a vegetarian, I think, whatever that was. But I was the first one of those whom I knew. You know, none of my friends, no family, whatever. I was the first. What am I? You know, I'm not eating animals. I don't know what to. I guess I'm calling myself a vegetarian for 13 years until I see the real truth. And it's like, whoa, eggs are that bad for animals? Dairy is that bad? What was I thinking? So, and what was it that made you go vegan then? Because you too were a long time. Cloaca mammarian, or mammarian cloacan, or whatever.
Well, as I said, I saw the, you know, when I went fishing with my father and saw the fish suffering and didn't want to eat them.
Right, but when you went vegan, though, like later on in life. Yeah,
the vegan, it's hard to remember why. It just didn't seem, I became aware that there was animal suffering still involved. In eating vegetarian,
because it
was still robbing the cow of its milk.
Right, animal suffering. Of course, the baby cow, the rape of the cow, the kidnapping of her baby, and everybody gets killed anyway. Everybody's killed. You know, nobody gets out alive. And I was a program director of a radio station, Star 106, in San Antonio, Texas, and there was an animal rights group there that gave me some literature, and I saw it, and I said, "Wow, you know, like, I'm doing this for the animals, and I'm still consuming dairy and eggs. I can't do that. That's like, I'm doing this for the animals, you know." So once I saw that, it was immediate, like, whoa, can't do that anymore. So,
with the eggs, you don't see any really obvious suffering, because it's an egg; it hasn't even hatched yet. But I just kind of extended it to the potential.
Well, no, but of course the chicken is debeaked. She's in crowded conditions, so she's mutilated. She's killed when she can't produce anymore. So, well, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It was all hidden. You see an egg, you don't really see the suffering. You see a glass of milk, you don't see the suffering. And so we can go on until we know of it, and then we can't do that anymore.
And it becomes so acceptable, as I said, my Sunday school teacher telling me that that's the purpose of the animals, is for us to eat them. That's why God put them here. And, you know, that just didn't seem right for God to do that.
Right. You could have asked your Sunday school teacher, what about thou shalt not kill?
Yes.
You know, so
they just didn't extend it to the animals.
Right. And I've suggested that people listen to the archives of this radio show when Rin Berry has been a guest to look at, you know, to look at really the, you know, if you look at the Bible, if your Sunday school teacher would have looked at, right in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis book 1, verse 29, God's first commandment really is to be vegan. So, you know, so that's the way it should be. So
they just didn't interpret it that way.
No. The people who like to profit from animal exploitation find ways of interpreting all sorts of things and giving us words like humane meat or sustainable meat. You know, I mean, it's all, you know, there's nothing humane, nothing sustainable about animal products, which, you know, and like you and I said, this was a quiet little personal decision we thought we were making, and it turns out that it's the key to saving the world. You know, that we find out from World Bank climate specialists that the only solution for climate change is a population shift to being vegan. So really, everything that's wrong with the world comes from consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Who would have thought that, right, when we were...
Right. You know, we were ahead of our time.
Yeah, definitely. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say my prayers are with the disaster in Texas, and they don't even talk about the poor animals that are going to be suffering. I hope there's some kind of animal welfare group there helping the animals.
Well, and the thing is, with all of this, you know, all of the extreme weather now being blamed on climate change, and we have... Again, those same top climate specialists telling us that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So all of the flooding, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the droughts, the, you know, all of these are, again, caused by consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Who would have thought it when we were making our personal little decisions way back when, right? So, yeah. So, okay, Dixie, was there anything else you wanted to mention? I guess we're just about out of time here, but anything?
Well, I just would like people to remember your station, because then they can, in memory of anyone that they know, give a donation so that you can continue your work, because I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, hitting the 15th anniversary of the radio show and our second World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in July. So I guess we'll finally coax you over the bridge, huh? You rarely go over one of the bridges, the Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate Bridge. But I think for this momentous occasion, you will have to be there.
Yeah, so I'll make an effort to get there. Absolutely.
Okay, terrific. Okay, well, thanks, Dixie, for being with us today. And I guess we'll go hang out. I do want to try that new vegan burger joint that opened in San Francisco. Maybe, I don't know if you want to go over there or not, but it's called Veganburg.
Call me and make a date.
Okay, we'll make a date for next week, a new vegan burger joint called Veganburg in San Francisco. So I guess I'll see you there. And thank you again for your very much appreciated, generous donation to help us continue.
Well, thanks for remembering Stan.
Well, thank you. And yes, so we're happy for all the love that you've had in your life, you know, and that's, you know, really...
I was lucky over 50 years.
Yes.
57.
Yeah. So I guess we count our blessings. So thanks, Dixie.
Bye-bye for now.
Okay. Talk to you soon. See you at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, which will be an amazing event. So I really want you to plan on that. I mean, in addition... you know, we'll have Professor Gary Francione there, a number of college professors, and just really, you know, this will be an event, you know, movers and shakers and thinkers and, you know, really, you know, very intellectually stimulating and hopefully motivating you to action. But, you know, if we put something together, we also want it to be entertaining, you know, because, well, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying. And, you know, we have to have great music and great food there. So we have a comedian scheduled who went through an audition. He was auditioning for appearing at the World Vegan Summit and Expo in July. And in fact, we had him audition, you know, just to make sure, you know, the judges would be tough on him to see if he'd pass and, you know, then be approved. We had him judged by Howard Stern and the other judges at America's Got Talent. So let's hear how Mike Kaplan did. Oops. Ooh, I guess we'll have to hear how Mike Kaplan did after the break. Ah, okay, we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. And we were talking about the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming to Berkeley, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. You can register at WorldVeganSummit.com. And there will be amazing entertainment. For example, well, Saturday night we'll have, it'll be a Saturday night vegan reggae party with just an excellent band, L'Amour and the Mystic Band. And Friday night, we have comedian Mike Kaplan, who auditioned for his performance at this coming World Vegan Summit and Expo. His audition, you know, just to make sure that he passed the grade, his audition was in front of Howard Stern and the other judges at America's Got Talent. Here's how it went.
I've seen the competition, and they are talented. Like people balancing on each other, magic and music. Here I am. My talent is just words coming out of my mouth.
Only six from 20 of us today?
Well, oh, if you take that crossbow, maybe we can make it out of a few less than 20. When I step out on that stage, I'm going to give it 100%, which is really the maximum logically that I can do.
Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
Thrilled. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm not going to set anything on fire.
Yeah. Now, the last time you performed, were any friends or family in the audience that were with you?
I am alone. It worked last time. Sad and lonely all day, funny at night.
Are you lonely?
No, I have a girlfriend. She's not here in this place because she lives in California, but she is here in this place because she lives in my heart.
Yeah. I love that, Mike.
My girlfriend, Casey, is a big part of my life. We're doing this long distance thing. It's difficult. I definitely would prefer for her to be here.
No, I can't smile without you.
She and I met about a year ago. She had been a fan of mine, and she emailed me. We met at a show and started falling in love. Casey is loving, she is thoughtful, she is nurturing, she is generous. Did I say that Casey was beautiful? She is also beautiful. Oh, God, I wish I could reach through the screen and grab you and bring you here. Why is that technology not a thing?
Let's say you get the $1 million. Let's say you go all the way to the top.
Perfect.
Are you
going to
trade in? Yeah. Will you stick with your girlfriend or will you start to play the field and become a typical comedy disaster?
I will stick with my girlfriend and start to play the field.
Yes. You can do that.
It's that's allowed. Hope she's not watching.
All right. I'm excited to turn the stage over to you. I wish you the best of luck.
All right. Hey, everyone. I get mistaken for gay, I guess. I'm a vegan, that's the confusion. And if you need proof, I will make out with any woman here after the show. My girlfriend and I do have an arrangement where she does not know that I do this. So it's fine entirely. I had a girl once tell me that this beard made me look like a creepy therapist. And I was like, well, how does that make you feel? One time a woman said, you want to go out for coffee or drinks? I said, coffee is a drink. Bam, she left. So I think the best way to go is honesty in a pickup line. I'll go up to a woman and I'll say, hey, can I buy you a drink? And if she says yes, I'll say, you are wrong, I am broke. So in college I was a philosophy major. Or was I? Who can say? What is philosophy? You guys get it. Or do you? Doesn't matter. Or does it? How long will this go on for? Forever? It couldn't. Or could it? I've never done this long. Or have I? Well, normally by now people clap to make me stop. Or do they? Anyway, now we're closer to death. Thank you guys so much. I love you all. Thank you, America. Thank you, judges.
Comedy is a favorite category of mine for this show. I'd love to see a comedian win it. And Neil, there's just some sort of vibe there where I see him as a character on a sitcom. Am I wrong or am I right about
You're
that?
You're hired.
Thank you.
That's what I was hinting at.
I don't
at.
Have that power at all.
I'm working on one called How I Met Your Brother from Another Mother. So.
Nice.
Perfect.
I loved it. I love the rapid fire pattern, the choices that you make, because you keep laughing through the jokes, and it just makes us warm up to you as opposed to feel like you're judging how it's going, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. That makes 100% sense. Even if it didn't, I would tell you it did.
Smart man.
Well done.
You're just funny. I loved it. I did not want it to stop. I was probably belly laughing. Like, my stomach hurts a little bit.
Aww.
Heidi, what did you think?
Finally, someone that really makes me laugh out loud.
Thank you, Heidi.
So really, I was like laughing out loud.
You'll be laughing out loud at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Mike Kaplan performing live July 29th in Berkeley. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Continue on the award-winning Go Vegan Radio with Bob Minden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Minden, WorldVeganSummit.com, where you can register. And it is now time for commentary with Professor Gary Francione and Anna Charlton joining us. How are yous guys today?
We're fine, Bob, and how are you?
We's are doing fine. I don't know, you probably missed the first hour of the show for the awards. The World's Most Important Awards. These are awards awarded by Go Vegan Radio. So you might not be surprised that Go Vegan Radio received the World's Most Important Award for the most important program in all media of all time. Also similar awards, the World's Most Important Award for animal rights, peace and social justice, environment, health, and food. But if you weren't listening, Professor Francione, it seemed like I had a clean sweep there, and then Go Vegan Radio awarded the World's Most Important Award for weekly radio commentary on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden to Professor Gary Francione.
Bob, do I get a certificate?
Sure. Well, Daisy's working on the paw print in the back, the official paw print. And yes, it's the World's Most Important Award. And we may sweep again next year. We'll have to see. So, you know.
Well, you know, wait, Bob, this is really no different from what our friends in the animal movement do. They give each other awards all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're following in good steps.
Well, we deserve it, you know. So and I couldn't do it without me, and you couldn't do it without you. So
exactly. Yeah. And I'd like to thank myself for everything done. But we thought, you know, this is the last show of 2015, and we thought that we would go out thinking or encouraging people to think about a resolution for 2016, and that is it. First of all, if you're not vegan, go vegan. Make that your New Year's resolution. Only don't wait for the new year. Do it now. But if you're not vegan, if you're a vegetarian, that's an incoherent moral position. Come on, you know it's wrong. Just take the additional step and do what you know is right. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're a vegetarian, then please do what you know in your heart is right, the only thing that makes sense, and go vegan.
Mm-hmm. And there are lots of resources now to give you more information if you're still not clear about some things. We have a website, howdoigovegan.com, which is full of all sorts of useful information and encouragement.
All sorts of stuff. And it's a great website. It's getting lots of traffic. And people can get lots of information from it. We have our regular website, abolitionistapproach.com. But also, there's something that comes up all of the time. I get this question probably three times a week, maybe more, but at least three times a week. People ask me, what do I do when I go vegan? What do I do with my non-vegan clothing? Now, what do I do with my leather shoes? What do I do with my wool sweaters and things like that? And what we tell everybody is this: look, if you can afford to get rid of them, get rid of them, because it is not a good idea to wear the skin of animals or the, you know, or the wool from animals, because in the same way that, you know, if you said, gee, you know, I really bought into this human rights thing, and what should I do with the human skin lampshade that I have? I mean, most of us would not really see that as a serious question, because we say, well, my God, you should get rid of it. You shouldn't have it, because it's very disrespectful to the personhood of whose skin is making up that lampshade. And sorry, the dogs.
You know, no problem.
When you have six dogs, Bob, you see, you have Daisy. Daisy is a lovely dog, and, you know, I know you had her sedated for the 3 days of the vegan summit. Poor thing was walking around like a little zombie. And actually, she wasn't walking around. You were carrying her, because she was probably so doped up she couldn't walk. But
she was happy to be there among all those vegans. She was like in heaven, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Nobody's going to eat me here, you know.
Yeah, so. She did seem pretty happy, I have to say. But anyway, so, you know, if you can't afford to get rid of your leather, well, you ought to. But if it's going to send you to the, you know, I mean, if you can't afford to do it, there are some people who can't afford to do that. If you can't do it, you can't do it. The most important thing is that you stop eating them, and that you resolve that when you're going to buy the next pair of, you know, shoes you buy, or the next sweater that you're going to buy, or shirt or whatever, you're going to buy a non-wool, non-leather, non-silk, obviously non-fur, whatever garment. And that's the important thing, to resolve to do that. I got an inquiry today. Somebody said, look, I've just gone vegan. I'm between jobs. I don't have a job right now. I'm looking for a job, and I really feel bad about the shoes and the sweaters that I have, and I don't know what to do. You know, is it all right for me? Do you think it's all right for me to keep them? And I said, look, you know, if you don't have the money, and the person expressed severe, you know, a really bad economic situation, so you don't have the money, then, you can't get rid of the clothes. I mean, if you can't afford to buy a new pair of shoes, then you shouldn't get rid of the shoes that you have. And other people then get upset with me and say, well, but you're being wasteful, and you're encouraging people to throw things away, and then they have to buy synthetic clothing, and that has an environmental harm and stuff like that. Well, we wouldn't ever raise that in the situation with the human skin lampshade. Nobody would ever say, well, you know, if you get rid of that human skin lampshade, you're going to have to buy a petroleum product, and that's really bad. Nobody would say that, because everybody would realize the horrible immorality of having a human skin lampshade. I think we have to look at wool and leather and silk in the same way, and fur, obviously. But, I mean, you know, most people, you know, most animal people don't have a problem with fur. They realize that it's a bad thing, and they condemn it while they're wearing their wool and leather. But I think, you know, we need to see these things as similar to, you know, the human skin lampshade, and get rid of these things. And if we can afford to do it, we ought to do it immediately. So those are the two of the three points we wanted to make. One is, you know, is, if you're not vegan, go vegan. And in connection with that, Anna, when we were talking about this before, you mentioned something about how a lot of people don't want to take the step because they feel, you know, they're afraid they're going to feel guilty, or they're you know, people feel bad about when they, you know, they go vegan. They say, I should have done it sooner, and sometimes they put it off.
Oh, exactly. I think people often express the fact that they can't believe it took them so long to come to the realization that that's what they should be doing and how bad they feel about it. But the point is, we can't undo our past habits, but we can just deal with how we go forward. So,
right. I had people consoling me because I think some months back I wrote, you know, I just feel so bad. I kind of feel like, in a sense, idiotic that I remained vegetarian, meaning consuming animal products, for 13 years. Now, I, you know, it's like I apologize to the world, you know, until, you know, had I known about eggs and dairy, I would have stopped them first, you know? I mean, it's like, had I known the truth. And I feel bad, too. Like, it took me that long. Where was somebody like me to tell me, like, right away? Because I was doing this for animals, you know?
And you know, Bob, it's interesting. Victoria Moran, whom I've always been very fond of, really disappointed me when she came out in favor of reducitarianism, and said that, you know, she wished in her 13-year journey from you know, going from whatever to vegan, she wished that she had somebody, you know, encouraging her to be a reducitarian because it really helps the journey. And I was thinking, you know, and I wrote something, and I don't think she liked it because I was supposed to be on her podcast show and she canceled my appearance, so I assume she didn't like what I said. But what I said was that, you know, how sad it is that somebody says, gee, you know, I wish I had somebody, I wish in the 13 years that I wasn't a vegan, while I was moving from omnivore to vegan, I wish I had somebody encouraging me to be a reducitarian. How about saying, I wish I had someone encouraging me to go vegan and seeing through, you know, seeing the speciesism of what I was doing short of being a vegan. So, you know, I mean, I think, Anna and I became vegans at the same time. We became vegetarians at the same time. I don't know. Did you ever hear the word vegan before we became vegans? I never heard the word.
I hadn't heard the word either.
It was a long time ago. But
it was 1984 when I became vegan.
It was 82 when we became vegans, and I'd never heard the word before. And I honestly did not think you could live without eating some animal protein. I thought we were going to die. And then when I found out that we weren't, it became clear to me that we had to. So I stopped. She stopped. We did it at the same time. But you know, now there's plenty of information out, and this idea that, well, you know, we're on a journey and blah 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 blah. You know, it's like, look, it's wrong if you're not a vegan, you're voluntarily participating directly in animal exploitation. You ought not to be doing that if you take animals seriously. It's that simple. But. The final thing we wanted to talk about, and I'm feeling great anxiety, is about my palms are beginning to sweat because I'm waiting for the music of death, and then all of these commercials.
That could happen at any time.
How if I filtered water and take mercury, I'll be dead.
It's coming.
Yes, the coming. It's coming. I can just hear it. But the final thing is, to talk about what do we do in 2016? People say, I want to do something. I want to do something. I've got to do something, and I want to do something now.
As Bob was saying, he wishes that he'd realized earlier, and he probably wished that someone had told him what he needed to know to make the right decision. So we can go out in 2016 and help people make that right decision.
Yeah.
Go directly to the right action.
Go directly to the right action. And what I would like everybody listening to do in 2016 is to resolve to just get one more person turned on to ethical abolitionist veganism, you know, not welfare veganism. I'm going to reduce suffering, you know, so if on occasion I have a cage-free egg, that's really, you know, that's okay because I'm reducing suffering. And you know, but really go abolitionist vegan.
Okay, here comes that music now. So, we'll encourage everybody to come to the World Vegan Summit and Expo, where we are going to try to help everybody go vegan. Go to worldvegansummit.com, and we'll continue our discussion with Professors Gary Francione and Anna Charlton coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. I want to thank Vegetarian House in San Jose for its long-term support of this program. Oh, what's in a name? Vegetarian House. It's a 100% vegan restaurant. Even though I've had people contact me saying, oh, I didn't want to go there because it's vegetarian and I don't eat dairy and eggs. No, it's a 100% vegan restaurant. And then somebody contacts me and says, why are you promoting Vegetarian House? You know you're always against vegetarian. Well, it's one of the best restaurants in the world. I'm against non-vegan vegetarian, which is, and the word has gone crazy. Anyway, this is a great restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street. If you come out for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, put it on your itinerary. Vegetarian House caters in the Bay Area. If you have a social event, getting married, the food will be great. A business event, go to vegetarianhouse.us. All the food is vegan, non-GMO, organic. And see, there's some of the confusion of that, the word vegetarian now, Professor Francione and Professor Charlton. And I almost think like we have to say non-vegan vegetarian, you know, to differentiate at this point, you know.
Vegetarianism, properly understood, is you consume only plant food. The
right.
problem is vegetarianism, though, is not, even if you are a 100% plant food vegetarian, that still doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, it doesn't say anything about what you should wear. I mean, we all agree. I mean, I think veganism is a more encompassing term. I mean, I don't think there's really any way around that. I don't think that you can say, well, that a plant-based vegetarian is the same as a vegan, because, you know, I mean, although I think the outer limits of the word, I mean, I don't think you can use vegan to mean everything that's morally right, as some people try to do. They try to say, well, you know, if you're not against war, I'm against war. But, you know, I'm not against war because I'm a vegan. I'm against war because I'm in favor of peace. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you can't be against sexism if you're a vegan. Sure, you can. You can be a sexist vegan. I deal with, you know, I mean, there are a lot of them out there. And so you can be a sexist vegan. You know, and so veganism is not extensive or coextensive with everything that's right morally. I think, though, that veganism does encompass more than just not eating animals. It means not wearing them, not using them. I would not consider it consistent with veganism, for example, to use products, you know, body care, you know, personal care products that had animal ingredients in them. Mm-hmm. Or I would not consider it vegan. I wouldn't consider it vegan to consume animals in any sort of way directly in my life, whether it was consuming them for entertainment or consuming them for clothing or consuming them for food. So, I mean, it's really an interesting question. I mean, interestingly, Donald Watson used the expression vegan. He sometimes talked about a vegan diet, but he also talked about veganism as sort of more encompassing ethic. But anyway, you know, listen, you know, we got distracted by all of those ads and so I want to get back to this. Bob, if each of us, if every one of the vegans now in existence educated one other person in the coming year, and then everybody did that, we would have a vegan country in 9 or 10 years, maybe 8 years. I have the math written on a piece of paper here somewhere, but it wouldn't be that long. And now, obviously, that's not going to happen, but it just gives you an idea what the power of one really is, you know? That we can... that's the resolution. Everybody out there in Go Vegan Radio, one person this coming year, educate one person, have it be your goal that you're going to turn one person on to abolitionist veganism, no cage-free eggs, no reducitarianism, no reduction of suffering veganism, straight justice veganism. You know, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I had a victory in 2015 just with our studio engineer, Ben, who's now vegan. So
that's right. He's the guy who answered the phone tonight. He's an awfully
yes.
nice guy. And
yeah.
And go ahead, Anna. What were you going to say?
Well, and then Ben will go and do the same
Ben will go and do the same thing. And Bob, I think you should comp him so that he can come to the Vegan World Summit in Berkeley. I mean, the guy's your engineer. It's the least you can do for him. And
come on out, Ben. The tickets are on Gary. I mean,
and so. So I
and the discussion comes up among his friends at you know at GCN Radio, and also you know it has that ripple effect.
Absolutely.
And 2016 World Vegan Summit 2, all sorts of great vegan events during the year. We're going to be there doing workshops, advocacy workshops with people. Really excited, turned on by it, and we're waiting to see everybody at Vegan World Summit.
Okay, that's our resolution. Everybody, go vegan if you're not already. Happy New Year.